Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, The Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy Wallace. I am the host, and today I have another exciting guest. I'm always looking forward to all my guests. Today, my guest's name is Patricia, and she is the president of the non-for-profit educational organization called New Age Study of Humanity's Purpose, Inc., which sponsors her work, and also the annual World Congress on Illumination. So, Patricia, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. Now, Patricia, I'm going to let you explain to our listeners kind of who you are, what prompted you to start to do your journey, and then when we're all done with that, I will ask you some more questions.
Okay. Well, I'm Patricia Cota-Robles, and I think this is a really critical time on this planet, and I think everybody in the physical plane has come here to help fulfill the divine plan that's unfolding on Earth. So I think that my mission probably began long before this experience in this lifetime. And whatever we're doing now, I think we've created a catalyst to wake us up so that we can remember what we're here for and what we're doing. But with me, it began as a very personal search, of course, I think the way it is with most of us, to try to find out why there's so much pain and suffering on this planet. And the things that I discovered on my sojourn were life-transforming for me. So I felt like if I could make that information available as accessible as possible to people to help change their lives, then that would be what I would want to do. So that's been the motivation of my work, and to teach and to help people understand that we're not the victims of circumstance. We're the creators of circumstance. And there's this wealth of assistance that's been given to us from higher realms of truth to help us in this earthly sojourn.
I'm sure, Patricia, a lot of people that are listening can relate to exactly everything that you're saying, because there's a lot of suffering going on in the world today, and it's very, you know, disheartening to see so much trouble happening and so many things being so upset. And yet people, you know, they don't quite know what they should do or how to do it, and the normal tendency for most people is to continue on the negative route instead of trying to turn it into a positive route. Do you find that to be true with a lot of people?
Well, I do think that that is occurring, but I really have an opportunity to connect with a lot of people who are what we call awakening and beginning to remember who they are and why they're here. And this is the time, biblically, that was referred to as the time of screaming and the gnashing of teeth, and I don't think anybody can doubt that. But the reason for that is, the bigger picture is that there are literally millions of people all over this planet that are beginning to reclaim their own awareness, that they are not these fragmented, fear-based lower human egos that they thought they were, but rather they are beloved sons and daughters of God that have a great deal of ability to improve the quality of their life. So as they awaken and the light increases within them, this light is flowing into the physical plane, and it's pushing everything to the surface that conflicts with that light. So there's no separation. So we can't just say cancel, cancel, and erase the negativity. It has to come up to be healed and transmuted again back into light. And what's happening now is we're easily able to see the garbage being pushed to the surface. What we don't see is the incredible light that's pushing it to the surface. But my experience has been, I mean, things like, say, the secret that is now really sweeping the consciousness at a real grassroots level, is that people are beginning to realize. I mean, I think most people involved in metaphysics have been teaching this for 50 years or more, or mm-hmm. you know, their whole lifetime. But for a lot of people, this sounds like brand new information. And so they're beginning to realize that they have some choices and they can improve their lives.
I think it's important that people understand that. And yeah, it's true. Like, I've been teaching basically what The Secret's talking about as long as I've been doing it. And I've been doing it for like 26 years.
Sure.
You know, and it's good that the media is finally taking some note and trying to help push, you know, all the things that we have been doing it for a long time, you know, trying to push it out there from what we couldn't do because, you know, let's face it, unless you have a great media audience out there, it's real hard to get a lot of the truth out there today because it keeps being, you know, either tossed off to the side or people thinking it's not as important as it is. But The Secret kind of unfolded a lot of things for people, and anybody who has not read it or they don't know too much about it really ought to check into it, because it is true, you know. People do bring to them what they put out. I call it the boomerang effect. You throw whatever out, you're going to get a boomerang right back. You know, so hopefully you throw it out kind of in a positive way or the best positive way that you can. Now, Patricia, you also do marriage and, well, I don't know if you do now, but you did do marriage and family counseling for 20 years.
Yes, I did.
Okay, and as far as the counseling, was it, you know, because families were having a hard time or they just needed a little help? You know, how did that work?
Yes, it kind of evolved from a lot of different things that I was becoming aware of in my own life as well. And I was a counselor at the Swan Clinic of Natural Healing, and so I worked with a lot of people that were already awakening to the truth of their ability, the power of their mind to heal their bodies and to work with their families. But it certainly covered the gamut of family, marriage and family relationships. In that moment when I was, at that time when I was working with that, people would be able to experience the changes in the power. This whole idea, you know, like of the secret or the idea of the law of attraction or whatever, it's becoming mainstream now so that it isn't. You know, when I was doing the marriage and family counseling, there weren't a lot of metaphysical counselors out there. Now there's all types of metaphysical counselors that are working even in mainstream. You know, we're going, mm-hmm. we've been to classes and things at the university, at the Heart Hospital, where they're teaching meditation because they realize that people that are connecting with their spiritual side, and they said it doesn't matter what their religion is, as long as they have some belief in a higher power, they heal better, they restore themselves better, and they can move forward. So mainstream medicine is now teaching people meditation and asking them to get in touch with their spiritual side for their healing process. So when I used to teach classes in Tucson in the 70s, it was called Take Charge of Your Life, and it was a very basic, you know, and people say to me now, well, why don't you teach that class anymore? That was so wonderful. And I say, because Oprah Winfrey's doing it on mainstream television, and we don't need to do that anymore. It's become mainstream now, which is wonderful.
It is very important. When I was a student in a practical nursing school, and I graduated with flying colors. And what I had done, because it's been a long, long time ago, I was actually offered a total scholarship to go ahead and complete some more education in being a psychiatrist. And I actually had to turn it down, not because of any other reason other than I didn't want to do it, because my idea of what they were teaching at that time and my soul energy idea were totally two different worlds. And so, like the Dr. Phillip today is how I was probably 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
And it wouldn't have worked. You know, people would have gone, oh, my God, who is this person? You know, what are they doing? Now, it's at least a little bit, you know, more enlightening for people to know that there is a soul connected to everything and there is a spiritual part of everything. And it's happening. And I think a lot of people still probably need to wake up, but they're trying. And that's, you know, that's part of the whole gamut here to get through all of it. Do you think that's possible?
Well, I absolutely think it's possible. And I think that that's what the momentum is that we're moving toward. And unfortunately, because we've been so used to struggling and walking through tar practically to try to move mm-hmm. forward, we have used pain as our motivator. And as long as we're comfortable, we'll stagnate forever. So I really think that some of the really challenging things that are coming up from us, our God self is pushing things to the surface in a way that we just can't put the garbage can lid on it and deny it anymore. You know, I mean, if we're dealing with financial problems or whatever, until we start learning to create the abundance and prosperity consciousness and move out of that consciousness of lack and limitation, our God self keeps presenting greater and greater financial challenges to us until we just say, okay, wait a minute, I'm not willing to do this anymore. What can I do to get out of this? And
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing with our health or with our relationships or with our self-esteem or whatever. We're just not being allowed to wallow in misery and any level of comfort anymore.
But that's a good thing. Now, you also wrote a book.
Excuse me?
I said you've also written a book.
Yes, I've written 9 books, actually.
Okay, good.
Quite a few books. And, you know, this is a time when we are really reaching higher and higher into the realms of illumined truth. And the beings of light that are there, which are just our sisters and brothers that have evolved to a higher level of evolution, are assisting us. And they have always been there, and we have forgotten that and lost that ability to connect with that. So we have been asked at the New Age Study of Humanity's Purpose if we would just document some of the incredible unified activities of heaven and earth, divine intervention, as well as light workers in the physical plane, the activities that are taking place so that people can see the bigger picture. Because from, you know, we are multidimensional beings, and the physical plane of earth is actually the least real of all of the dimensions mm-hmm. that we abide in. And most of us look at the outer world and feel like this is our true reality. And so we have a very distorted perception of the truth. And if we can see the bigger picture, you know, the incredible oneness of life, the reverence for life, the connection, the legions of life throughout infinity that are working with us, then it gives us a different perspective that moves us out of that hopeless, overwhelmed. Because in the outer world, if you knew nothing but what's going on in the outer world, turning on television, people are just sitting there wringing their hands saying, how are we ever going to get out of this? You know, how could, mm-hmm. in the Middle East, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. You know, nothing seems to be changing. And it just, there seems to be no out. But what the out is that people are awakening within their hearts, and they're beginning to realize that all life is interrelated, interconnected, interdependent. We can't harm any part of life without harming ourselves. This whole consciousness of tit for tat, or the thought that war could possibly be a viable solution to the problems, or the greed or the selfishness or the corruption or whatever, it's just ludicrous. And the way that's being revealed is by the shifting of consciousness that's taking place, and people are beginning to get that inner guidance that my life isn't working. You know, this isn't, I don't want to live. I don't think there's anybody in the Middle East that is enjoying their life over there or what's happening over there, no matter whether they think they're right or wrong. It's a living hell that they're creating for themselves. So people are just choosing to create something better. And on a global level, that's happening. You know, one of the things that's important for us to stay focused on is that what we read about in the newspaper or here on the news is truly involving a minuscule fraction of the 6 billion souls on this planet, that every single day, billions of souls turn their attention to a higher power in one way or another and invoke the light of God for themselves and their family and their loved ones. And those prayers are heard, and those prayers are being answered. And the light of God is increasing on this planet in quantum amounts that we've never experienced before. But the outer world result is, it's pushing the garbage to the surface at a greatly accelerated pace as well. So things look kind of difficult. But it's a temporary cleansing that's taking place, and we're going to start in the very near future, and I think even now in our individual and collective lives, experiencing tremendous improvement in the quality of life for ourselves.
Do you think, Patricia, sometimes people are possibly afraid to believe that there's something better out there because of what they're looking at in everyday life?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is happening all the time. It's like Murphy's Law, you know, that they expect if anything can go wrong, it will. That way, as long as they're expecting that, then they're not going to be disappointed. One of my patients at the clinic said that he thought Murphy was an optimist. That's how bad, he was feeling. But it's a survival technique that we created through the misunderstanding that somehow we were protecting ourselves. What we realize now is that when you expect the worst, that's what you're creating and manifesting in your life. And the whole idea is, if we're saving for rainy days, you know what you get. You get rainy days. And it's fine to save your money, but save for wonderful, glorious things. Don't save for rainy days and catastrophes that you think are going to happen in your life. And people are, you know, in my counseling, when I would ask people when they were dealing with financial challenges, I said to them, just out of the blue, what's the scariest thing about being financially free? And initially, they would think, well, what a silly question. There's nothing. I want to be financially free. But then they'd say, well, you know, my husband or my wife and I fight about money all the time anyway, and we don't even have it. Imagine what it'd be like if we really had it. Or I don't know anything about managing money. I don't know what to do about investments. You know, and there's all these fears that start coming up. And it's to the point where it's even a sense of identity. And people will say, well, if I'm not struggling from morning till night to put food on the table, then who am I? You know, they don't even, can't even conceive of what they would do if this wasn't who they were or who they believed that they were. So that fear of change and fear of the unknown is certainly a block. There's no doubt about that.
Without a doubt, it's true. When I do readings for people, you know, I come up with a worry card, and I tell them it's really time to learn how to worry positive, not negative, and they look at me like I'm nuts. And then their next question is, well, how do you do that? And I say, right, we're not really taught how to worry positive. In fact, the dictionary tells us it's really a negative. But the best way to worry positive is anytime there's a thought that's coming through your mind or coming out your mouth, just stop it in midstream, change the negative words and negative thoughts to positive words, positive thoughts, and put that out. And I tell them it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to that because you're not used to putting out the positive. You know, again, but if you just try, if you just start, it would get a lot easier. And so I will give them different kinds of, you know, basic, you know, affirmations to say, like when people say, oh, I'm so worried about the money. I go, well, instead of being worried about money not being there, just start making the statement, what am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have? And then I look at them, I go, doesn't that even sound better? They go, well, yeah. And I go, well, then it's real simple to say, why don't you try it for a little bit? And that in itself is getting people to understand that, yes, they are putting out whatever they're putting out, without a doubt they're going to give back. And I keep trying to remind people that that's what's going on. You know, you put it out, you get it back. They can't really change it for you out there, so you got to make the changes here. And so a lot of people go, well, okay. And luckily I put it all on tape so they can listen to it over and over and over again.
Yes.
Because we do need to hear it repeated several times. Now, you also, not only do you do books, but you have CDs, you have tapes, you've done videos, you have an internet radio show that's on Tuesday night. It airs at 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
On www.7thwavenetwork.com.
Yes.
And it's considered itself as an online community for positive change.
Right.
And you also have a newsletter, a monthly newsletter, that called Take Charge of Your Life, which is also, I believe, one of the books.
Yes, that's the first book we wrote. And that's actually the name of the radio show, too. That's been just the momentum that we've been energizing for a while in various ways, I guess.
Do you think it's important that people would finally figure out how to take charge of their life?
Yes, I think that's the key. You know, when I was in my personal search, I realized that no matter what facet of knowledge on the planet I was studying, I went through the gamut of world religions, through psychology, through understanding about the laws of physics and some about quantum mechanics and all of those kinds of things, and everything was indicating this law of the circle, that what we are sending out is returning to us. In Eastern philosophy, it was referred to as karma, or the laws of cause and effect. In Judaism, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We should have said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hug for a hug, a kiss for a kiss. So we got the whole picture. Christianity, it was reaping what we sow, or casting our bread upon the water. You know, in science, it's action and reaction, like attracts like, radiation and magnetization. So my question was, you know, if every form of knowledge on the planet is telling us that we're creating our own realities, there must be some truth to that, and why haven't we gotten it? And the understanding is, of course, misinformation and disinformation and our fears that have just blocked us from really being able to do that. We've forgotten how very powerful we are, and that's the great problem, that all life is interrelated and totally we are one. And it's as though the all-encompassing, all that is, presence of God is like this magnificent sun, and every evolving soul is a ray of light off of that sun. So all that that Father, Mother, God has is ours as well. And we can't have one thought, word, action, or feeling without it affecting the dynamics of the universe. It reverberates through the whole of creation. So what we need to be doing is monitoring our thoughts and feelings, like you were saying a minute ago, and saying, okay, is what I am thinking, feeling, saying, or doing now adding to the light of the world or the shadows? And if it's not adding to the light of the world, we need to say, what do I want instead of that? And start empowering what you want instead of energizing the fears of what you don't want. And step by step, you know, and when you say we can't change what's out there, it's matter is always a reflection of our consciousness. And to try to change outer world situations without changing our consciousness is like trying to change the reflection in a mirror without changing the object that's causing the reflection in the mirror. It's a futile effort, and it's impossible to do that. So we have to start thinking, feeling, and believing, for instance, prosperity consciousness or vibrant health or loving relationships before we create the force field that will magnetize those things into our lives.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was one of the major causes for us as humans to forget the power and the energy that we really have?
Well, I believe that through our free will, we began using our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings in ways that were conflicting with what our purpose and reason for being was. I believe that in the information that's coming from the higher realms is that the reason sons and daughters of God were created were to expand the borders of divinity infinitely so that there would be greater and greater expressions for our Father, Mother, God to love, and just similar to the way that we have our own children and send forth our love. And when we were created, each of us was invested with the creative faculties of thought and feeling and the gift of free will. And the original divine plan was is that we would observe all of the patterns of perfection in the causal body of God, and then through our unique way of expressing those patterns and through unique combinations, we would create new, previously unknown expressions of divinity, expanding perfection infinitely. But we were not supposed to use that gift of life in ways that were conflicting, and that's why we had that one commandment, do not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if we have no consciousness of poverty, there's no way that we will energize thoughts of lack or limitation and create it in our lives. If we had no knowledge of disease or hatred or war or any of those atrocities, then we wouldn't reflect it on the elemental kingdom and environment and manifest it. So there was some point in time, and there's, you know, myriad different scenarios of what people interpret occurred, but the most important thing to understand is that somewhere, sometime in our evolutionary process, we made the conscious decision to use our creative faculties of thought and feeling to create patterns that were less than the perfection in the causal body of God. So we started creating discord and negativity and disease and aging and degeneration and war and plagues and pestilence and everything. Not one electron of that energy is God created. That is, they are human miscreations. God intended only the highest divine intent for us. And the duality of God is not good and evil. The duality of God is the divine masculine power, will, and authority of our Father God in the cohesive divine love, reverence for life, and adoration of our Mother God, the in-breath and out-breath of God. That's the duality of God. And anything that conflicts with the perfection of God is a human miscreation. And it certainly was pure God light initially, but that's what's coming up for us to heal and transmute back into light again. We have to work at transmuting this discordant energy, this precious life energy that we have distorted into a mutated form of poverty or war or whatever. We have to love this energy back into light and transform it back into its perfection, which is what we're now in the process of doing.
And it's a big mouthful.
Yes, it certainly is.
People go, oh my God, is it possible? Well, it is possible if we'd all kind of get together and go for it.
Right. We created it, so we can certainly uncreate it.
Now, you've also done a lot of international teaching workshops in all different areas, actually. So the workshops that you are teaching in the different areas, can you explain kind of a little bit about them?
Well, a lot of them are conferences and things that I've been asked to speak at when we're going out of the country. We teach free seminars throughout the United States so that people can have an opportunity to have access to the information without the obligation. Just yesterday we were in Denver and we had a conference, seminar. Seminars in the United States are on Sundays from 10 to 3:30, and they're free and open to the public in various areas. Those are all people can check with our website if they're interested in that. But going into other countries, sometimes it's a bit, we do a conference there, and we're in charge of it for the whole week, or some other times we are presenters at other people's conferences around the world. So the wonderful thing about that is, as you mentioned, it's literally all over the world, and it's wonderful to see that this is happening everywhere, that even in areas like third world countries, we've been in the Soviet Union and throughout, not the Soviet Union is a third world country, but I mean areas that you would think that was at the time in the 1990s, that was still considered very much communist and atheistic, and even in those countries and throughout South America, Africa, areas that you wouldn't be expecting that there were these powerful light workers awakening. There are. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere. Now, Patricia, could you give out a way for people to contact you?
Certainly. My website is eraofpeace.org, and you can certainly contact me through the website. And my email address is Patty, C-R-P-A-T-T-I-C-R, at AOL.com.
Okay.
For Patty Cota Robles at AOL.com. Patty, C-R.
Okay, on your website, is there a way for them to get your books or tapes or CDs?
Yes, we have sections of books and tape. There's a way that I just send out a free monthly email article from the Beings of Light, just talking about the events that are taking place and things that we can do to add to the light of the world. So you can sign up to receive that free monthly letter. There's sections where there's lots of articles and things like that from the Beings of Light so that people can you know, research and have a lot of the information. And then we do have certainly books, and people can buy books and tapes and CDs and things like that at this time too. One of the major pushes that's going on right now is because the vibration of the Earth is increasing so intensely, what's happening actually is that the Earth is moving into our next spiral of evolution. So we're ascending up the spiral of evolution. And instead of this being an individual process of a person ascending into the light, into their next octave, we're ascending, but we're bringing the Earth and all life on her with us. So it's a very intense process that's going on. And people are, every 24 hours, our God selves are accelerating the vibrations within our physical bodies, the maximum that we can withstand. So people are going through all kinds of weird physical things. You know, they're having joint problems and head problems and feeling flutters in their hearts and pressure in their head and all different kinds of things. So we have a brand new CD out. It's a double CD that's called Physical Transformation, and it has some wonderful explanations about all of this, but also some wonderful exercises from the Beings of Light that'll help us raise up so that this won't feel so stressful to us at a physical level.
I think a lot of people, Patricia, are going through some of the things that you just talked about. A lot of physical ailments seem to start coming out now, like really bad. And I think people are kind of a little miffed about trying to figure out what it is, you know, what it's all about, because they were like, really felt good and really felt okay, and now all of a sudden, like, bam, you know, something's going on. And people are trying to seek to find out what it is, but I really don't think they're being given the answers that they need to be given. Instead, they're being given a pill and say, this is going to do it.
Yeah, and that's kind of hard now, because I tell people I don't ever want anyone just to accept that it's a spiritual energy shift, you know, to assume, rather, that it's a spiritual energy shift, to have it checked out medically first to be sure that it's not a medical problem. Because sometimes it is medical, you know, and sometimes it isn't just an energy shift. But if they can't find anything, then they can know. The problem is, as you mentioned, that doctors always want to fix everything with medicine. So very often they're being prescribed things that maybe aren't effective. So they just, everybody needs to listen to their hearts and certainly check everything out, but then use discernment as well.
Which is important. There's a lot of talk about the new children that are here today. You know, like the indigo children, the crystal children, the star children. Do you know anything about them?
Well, this is a new root race, the seventh root race that's coming into the physical plane. These souls have been, you know, this is a natural process of these advanced souls that normally they would come in the normal evolution. But after the fall, everything got backed up in the inner realms, and souls stayed here coming back to clean up their karmic liabilities much longer than they were originally supposed to have to be here. And so these souls that were supposed to come in, the various root races, were held there until the other souls got their acts cleaned up and could move on. So they've been growing and learning and expanding at the inner levels. But the truth is, yes, there are wonderful children coming into the physical plane. And the truth is that everybody is a powerful being of light, regardless of how far away they may be from acting that out or knowing that. these souls are coming in and they're going to help us immensely in the awakening process. My concern about that is that there's a big movement out there to identify them and to bring them to the fore, which will be totally interfering with their divine plans. They are to integrate into the mainstream humanity and model through their life experiences as examples what our potential is, rather than making them oddities or holding them out to be above other children or something like that. That's our human stuff that's getting in there that maybe has the potential of interfering rather than accelerating these children forward. They're going to do whatever they came here to do, and we're not going to need to worry about trying to put them on a pedestal or whatever in order for them to do it.
Because a lot of the people that I interview, they all, of course, have their different ideas. And I was curious about your idea because I know that there are many, many children out there who are very highly advanced, but yet they're not doing so well because of whatever reason. And I was just curious to find out if there's, and you've already answered it, if there was any special way to help them or a special need that they have. But you did answer it saying that they just need to kind of go through their, basically their cuts and bruises like everybody else.
Right. We can certainly call for their protection. We can ask their God self to help them learn their lessons quickly and clear the way for them. Certainly praying for them, invoking the light and the legions of light to help them, to guide the parents. We can do all of that, which is wonderful, and we should be doing that for everybody that's on the planet. But to, you know, cloister them away or to put them in special exclusive schools, which people are working toward or trying to do or things like that, that's going to create separation, you know, which is the opposite of what they're coming here to do.
Because I think they come here with a lot of love.
Oh, absolutely.
And our energy isn't quite where their energy is, and it's hard kind of for them to come down to our energy, basically. But ours is rising, and that's a good thing. It's a good start.
Yes, and a thing important to understand is that the reason they haven't come in before this is because the Earth was vibrating at such a discordant frequency that they couldn't have handled it. The fact that they're able to come in now is a great encouragement to how far we've moved up. You know, that the Earth is really, because of all the light that's coming into the planet, vibrating at a frequency that even doesn't mean it's going to be totally smooth sailing for them, but it's not going to be overwhelming or they wouldn't have been allowed to come in.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty important to know. Now, you've also participated in the first Global Earth Summit that was held in Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
How long ago was that?
That was in 1992.
And at that time, what were they, like, really talking about?
Well, it was, you know, it was a combination of things. There were 40,000 non-governmental organizations, and then countries from all over the world. Al Gore was a major part of that event there at that time. That was at the time when the first George, President Bush was in office. And because of the things that we've gone through now, like with the corporations and things like that, he didn't support that and didn't send a representative on his own representing the United States. We were one of the few countries in the world that weren't represented there, but there were 173 countries there. And, of course, everybody came with their own agendas of what they wanted to, but the outer world model to that, the outer world demonstration was, for the first time ever, that many people came together representing their constituents and their countries for the unified purpose of healing the earth, you know. And it's kind of like what happened on 777 of this year with the live earth concert that took place. That there were people all over the world coming together, and it was really a powerful demonstration to the elemental kingdom, the intelligences in the elemental kingdom, that humanity is now ready to start reclaiming our responsibility as stewards of the earth rather than just assuming that the earth is an inanimate object that we can rape and pillage as we choose for our own personal gain. And there is a shift, it created a shift of consciousness that has been building in momentum. And, you know, this, the whole corporate structure and the greed and the selfishness and things like that, for anybody that says, you know, or that believes that we can harm any part of life and have it not reflect back on us is just deluding themselves. And that's what we're experiencing with the global warming and that kind of thing. But the Earth is a magnificent being of light. And just like with our own physical bodies, the main thing to do to heal ourselves is to stop trashing ourselves, you know, and to clean up our diets and things like that. And the earth has an incredible ability to heal herself, and it is a reflection of humanity's consciousness. So as our consciousness shifts, the earth will heal as well. So we have to make some major changes, of course, and hopefully we're in the process of doing that.
With Al Gore being out there, he did make that movie, you know, Inconvenience Truth, and I thought it was actually quite good.
Yes, it was.
It showed a whole different side to him and what he's really trying to stand for. A lot of people at first, you know, kind of looked, they didn't even go see it because they thought, oh, just, you know, just whatever. But I think more and more people have seen it, and I think it's making more and more sense to people now with what is going on, you know, in and on the Earth's surface. And I think it's real important that people understand that, yeah, they need to stop trashing, you know, the Earth as well as they need to stop trashing themselves. But people have gotten so used to just taking and taking from the Earth and not trying to replenish it. It's a whole different way to look at everything, and it's a whole different theory, actually.
Right. You know, we just need to remember that this is a living organism, you know, and even the nuclear testing and things that we've done in the body, it's like putting a body in a bullet in our body and blowing it up, you know. Of course, it's going to have ramifications and affect the tectonic plates and, you know, all of those kind of things. And all we have to do is look at the things that are happening on this planet, the designer diseases that we are creating and the pollution. And, you know, autism has increased from in numbers, and I realize there's new ways of testing it and things like that, but all kinds of things that are happening on the planet, that it's environmental, you know, and the bees are dying, and we're going to realize that, you know, what we're doing matters, and that we are, everything affects everything else, and we need to start saying, how can we come from a win-win situation, which we can, and the key is going to be eliminating the greed, that I'm going to get my money no matter what I have to do to the earth to get it, you know, and that's kind of the consciousness that we've had. There are so many different kinds of alternative fuel things, and there's every viable solution for every problem in the physical plane is pulsating in the causal body of God. And the problem is that every time someone with a higher consciousness reaches up to tap into that, for instance, for clean fuels or alternative fuels, the oil companies pay millions of dollars for the patent and file it in File 13, so it'll never be developed and it won't interfere with their profits. And it's the same thing with the drug industry and all of that. But that's beginning to shift now, and people are understanding that. You know, everybody's doing the best they can according to their wisdom, and that greed consciousness is just the epitome of the fear-based consciousness of lack and limitation, which is an illusion. It's not a reality.
And that's the other thing I managed to tell a lot of people. I tell them, we're living in a mirage. You know, it's an illusion that you're creating. We got to stop creating the illusion and start doing reality here. And people go, what do you mean?
Right.
And it's like, you know, just think about it. You know, again, if you throw out and you get back whatever you've thrown out, you're creating all of it. So without a doubt, it's a mirage. And you can change it, you can make it better, you can make it worse, depending on what you're going to be putting out there. And I think, again, people are starting to get it, like I said a little bit earlier, but it's real hard to get people to go from their mindset now that they have and have had for many, many years to a whole new way of looking at things, knowing that it's going to be better for them in the long run, but nope, they don't want to give up their ego, their greed, and that power like you've already talked about. And that truly is our downfall. That's not progressive for us.
Right. And the thing about this awakening that's taking place, this is coming from an inner awakening, kind of that aha, epiphany kind of thing in people's heart centers. And once someone has an awakening, they begin to, what we say, see with new eyes and hear with new ears. You have a different perception on physical reality, and it actually shifts your consciousness. You know, and when someone that is not awakened, that's still really buried in that the physical world is the reality, when someone that's not awakened tries to communicate and change the opinion of someone that already has experienced that higher level of consciousness, it's like a deaf and blind person trying to convince a sighted hearing person that there's no such thing as color in music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that the sighted hearing person would be able to understand perfectly why the deaf and blind person was having trouble accepting that concept, and they would be able to handle it with love and compassion and understanding. But right now, it's hard to know whether someone's awakened or not. So when people are spewing forth all of this negativity against what people are understanding at a heart level about the reality of the oneness of life and things, it's causing friction and anger and that kind of thing, which we need to not be doing battle with them. We need to hold them in a sacred space, know that their God self is going to get through to them, pray for their, you know, to clear away all the blocks and resistance so that they can see the light as well. And they will. You know, it's happening all over the world.
Patricia, can you give out the information for people to get a hold of you again, please?
Yes. My email address is Patty, P-A-T-T-I-C-R, at AOL.com. And my website is Era of Peace, www.eraofpeace, E-R-A-O-F-P-E-A-C-E, eraofpeace.org.
Okay. And on your website, they can get your books and your tapes?
Yes, they can. And they can sign up for the monthly email newsletter as well.
In your monthly newsletter, what kind of stuff do you put in there?
Well, we have a physical newsletter, and the physical newsletter that people subscribe to, it has an article from me and then it's several sharings from other people that are compatible with sharing the information that's of what's going on the planet, you know, in the way of positive news kind of thing. On the email article that I send out that's free, it just has the article from me, and it's sharing information from the higher realms of how we can join together and things that are going on the planet. Like there's this activity tomorrow that's called Fire the Grid. Are you familiar with that? Have you heard that?
Yes, I've heard about it.
Okay, there's a lot of, you know, different information about it, but this is just a time, and I won't go into all the details about this, but this is just a time when people all over the planet are being asked by the Company of Heaven to project in a, it's like the World Healing Meditation that took place in December of 1986, just prior to Harmonic Convergence, which was a powerful shift of light. And they're being asked at 11:11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time in the morning. So that's 7:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow morning, or 4:11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow morning. Just for 1 hour, to send forth love and infuse your love and light into the planet Earth, asking for the healing of humanity and for the healing of the Earth in whatever way that resonates for you. It's totally non-denominational, and the intent is just to create this incredible surge of light into the planet. The beings of light have said that there are cosmic moments come and cosmic moments go, and tomorrow there is this force of creation energy that's flowing through the whole of creation that happens cyclically throughout history and time, and that if the Earth is going to be bathed with this creation energy, and in order for it to manifest in the physical plane, if we will turn our attention to it and just ask God for the highest good of all concerned to allow this light to bless the planet and all her life, it's our divine intention that determines the success of how this energy will shift the consciousness. But the whole intent is to raise humanity up and to help heal the Earth and to help people that are still buried in their own negativity, to help them get their heads above the mud puddle of chaos enough that they can start seeing the light and changing their lives as well. So, and it's just a one-hour meditation in whatever way fills your heart up with music or love or joy or prayers or whatever you'd like to do, from 4:11 a.m. Pacific time, and you can figure out your time zone, and you can get it on the internet and find out what Greenwich Mean Time is in your time zone. But everybody is doing it at the same hour. So sometimes they'll do it, you know, at the same time in your time zone, like 11 a.m. in each time zone, but this is not that way. It's everybody at one time.
And what is this called again?
It's called Fire the Grid, and the reason it's saying that is that this light that's coming in, the divine intent of this light is healing the divinity connection. When we fell from grace eons ago, the heart flames of humanity from heart to heart has always been, the divinity has always been connected. But with the fall, we have really fragmented that heart connection, which is what has caused our separation and has prevented us from recognizing the oneness of life. And it's created the illusion of separation even from God. And this, it's being called a grid, but it's really a heart connection like the acupuncture meridians that run through our bodies where the light of God flows through all of us. And so it's called Fire the Grid because it's energizing this healing, this heart connection that has been this fragmented shadow of its original self for a very, very long time, to try to bring back into the realization of humanity's consciousness, the oneness of life, the reverence for life, our connection with God and with each other. So it's a very positive, powerful event that's taking place.
It's very important. Working with children, do you think that would help our position better if we started when they were much younger than us adults?
Certainly. The sooner they can start remembering who they are and why they're here, the better. These are powerful beings of light that are bringing in this whole divine momentum of service and a mission that they're coming in to do. And the sooner, the more harmony and balance, and the sooner we can help them start reconnecting with that truth, the faster they can start connecting with their mission and doing it, instead of going through a lot of times, which a lot of us have done, gone through a lot of pain and struggle before we finally got to the point where we were doing what we thought we came here to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, the annual World Congress on Illumination, has it already happened this year?
No, it's going to be in August. We normally hold it over the anniversary of Harmonic Convergence, and it's going to be this year in August, and that information is also on the website, but from August 11th through the 16th. And this is a global activity of light where this is the 21st annual World Congress on Illumination. And it's a global activity of light. And people, you know, have the heart call and physically come and participate. But people also all over the world tune in consciousness during that week. Many go to other sacred sites, wherever they feel directed, whatever they feel directed to do. And the beings of light give us, work with us to co-create the greatest need of the hour, is what they, how they have indicated this particular event. And the greatest need of the hour this year is to assist the God self of the souls that are being right now the most resistant, the most recalcitrant, the most rebellious, to clear the space, to allow their God self to be heard within their heart centers. And that is the mission of this World Congress. People are coming from all over the world, from 22 foreign countries, and we just hear, it's going to be in Tucson, Arizona this year. We have it here every other year, but different places around the world as well. We gather together to form this transformer with our heart flames, a chalice of light through which the light pours into the physical plane. It'll go into the center of the earth and then expand out through the earth through the crystal grid system, which is just like the acupuncture meridians within our bodies, and bringing more light to raise the vibration of those souls that right now are just kicking and screaming into the light, you know, doing everything they can to resist. And that's what's happening in the Middle East and in those places in Africa, with the corruption, with the gangs, with the drug wars, with everything. It's just, they're just so aware that they're in their final days of being able to abuse and manipulate and control, that they're fighting tooth and nail to prevent us from moving forward. But fortunately, the light of God is infinitely more powerful than our fragmented, fear-based consciousness. So they have no ability to interfere with the light. They just are creating a lot of pain for themselves and people around them. But nothing's going to stop this forward movement into the light.
And nothing should stop it. Do you think people have a basic fear of change just in general?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's the, you know, always the fear that, well, what if it's worse? What if, you know, even though I'm miserable now, at least I know what to expect. What if the change makes things worse instead of better? And that's, you know, and many times we've done that. You know, many times we've been deceived. Many times we've been promised things that didn't happen. And so we have a lot of fear and a lot of etheric records of just lack of trust. So we've been tricked a lot of times. We've been lied to a lot of times. So there is, it's like, it's better to the devil you know than the devil you don't know, you know, which is an awful expression, but that's kind of what people think.
Do you think people's biggest fear is because they really don't trust themselves?
Yes. I think that they feel powerless. They don't realize the ability they have to create change in their lives, and they think they're just going to be buffeted about by circumstances, which is the opposite of what takes place. There isn't a person, a place, a condition, or a thing that can interject anything into our lives that we haven't at some time or some time frame or dimension created and agreed to go through to learn whatever we needed to learn. And that has nothing to do with judgment or criticizing of ourselves. We have all done everything and been everywhere. So what this is that we've made agreements to have our misqualified energy come back to us at greatly accelerated pace this time. We're really clearing up hundreds of lifetimes worth of petty, trivial, misqualified energy in this one lifetime. So this is where the whole concept of bad things happen to good people, because nobody, God isn't up there just deciding, well, I think I'll mess this person's life up today, and I think I'll cause this person a problem. God's will for us is nothing but the bliss and wonder of heaven on earth. And anything conflicting with that is something that we have created, and now we have the ability to transmute and transcend.
Do you also think people are pretty lazy on taking their own responsibility?
Well, they don't trust themselves enough. They're lazy about that because they don't really believe that they have any power to do it. And they think it takes too much work, and then sometimes they work really hard and then they don't see any results right away, because we're working, you know, we never know how much energy is out there that we're transmuting, so we're transmuting it. But what we need to do is say, okay, this somehow, some time frame, some way, I've created this lesson for myself, so I'm going to walk through it, I'm going to transmute it, and I'm not going to stop till it's complete, instead of just feeling victimized, which we just recreate the same situations over and over again when we get in that space.
Okay, I have a question for you, Patricia. You can answer it if you want, and if you don't want, that's okay too. When was your awakening as far as knowing that all the things that you've created has been part of your life?
As I said, I think we've all been prepared for thousands of lifetimes to do what we're doing in this lifetime. So I'm sure that's a momentum that I brought in with me. In my own personal life, we each come into various catalysts. In my own personal life, my catalyst was volunteering to be born into a dysfunctional family, which I think is, I think that's a kind of a catchphrase that we've all fallen into. But my dad, bless his heart, was really a sick man, and this day and age, he would have been classified as bipolar disorder, and they would have had medications. But in those days, they didn't have things like that. So they gave him shock treatments, and he self-medicated himself with copious amounts of alcohol. And when he was in the euphoric stage of his disease, he was very loving and affectionate. But without warning, he would spiral into this black despair where he would become very violent and abusive. And in the midst of that, and I remember my third birthday and things that happened before that, so as far back as then, even in the middle of the horror that I was going through, which sometimes, as I said, seemed life-threatening, I knew that I was going to survive, and I knew that that was not the way life was supposed to be on this planet, and that there would somehow be answers, and that I would be able to get answers. And that was just an inner knowing that I've had since back that far that set me, you know, I studied the gamut of world religions through high school and as much as I could get my hands on at the university, and just this personal quest for answers. And then the things that I discovered, which is what I'm sharing through all my teachings and everything, were life-transforming, and I felt that people just knew that we aren't victims and that we have choices and that we are creating our own realities, then we would be able to change the world. And that's what's happening.
And that's important. Do you mind if I read your philosophy that I have in front of me?
No, go right ahead.
It says, every person is precious and divine, regardless of how far his or her behavior patterns and life experiences may be reflecting that truth. We are not the victims of our lives, but the co-creators of our lives. We have a choice, and we have the ability to transform our lives into what we want them to be. And then your closing statement is, and the time for us to do so is now, in capital letters.
Right.
I think that's very powerful. I think if people could just realize that we really are all in this together, and that all the experiences that we have and that we are going through are experiences that we need to go through in order to continue to find a way for us all to work together. And I do think it's important that people understand that.
I do too. And the wonderful thing about this is that this is a universal law, and it's as scientific as the law of gravity or any other law. It's immaterial whether we believe in the law of gravity. If we jump off of a roof, we're going to fall to the ground and hit the ground. And we don't have to believe that what we're sending out with our thoughts are coming back to us. We don't have to understand it. All we have to do is say, what if that really is true? And start consciously sending out positive thoughts and feelings and energizing what we want instead of our fears of what we don't want. And we will experience tangible change. It isn't that if we believe we will, we will. It's if we're doing it, we have no alternative. It creates an unstoppable shift in our lives, that whatever we are sending out is expanding and returning to us and manifesting as our everyday life experiences. So if we don't like what's happening, we need to shift what we're sending out through our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings.
And I agree totally. Patricia, our time's actually up. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you very much, Nancy. It's wonderful talking to you as well.
I hope everybody checks out your website and see what's all out there. Anyway, Patricia, you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Great. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners. Without you, you know, you wouldn't really get to have anything come back to us. So may God bless all of you.